Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how you played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost, and this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to the Why Blank Lost Survivor 44 preview. I'm David Bloomberg, and of course I'm joined for part two by my co-host Jessica Lewis.
Hello everyone, and it's nice to see you, David. I feel like, I don't know, I just saw you rather recently.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
We've had a busy day Sunday as we took over the RHAP Instagram account. We posted stories that might or might not still be available by the time this podcast comes out, or you're watching it or listening to it. Remember, those only stay up for 24 hours, so gotta be quick. We did an Instagram Live where Jessica's friend and former ally, Ken, from Millennials versus Gen X, was the surprise guest. And when I say surprise, it was a surprise to us.
Was a lovely surprise. I haven't chatted with him in a bit, so that was quite nice to catch up with him. So I got to do that on Instagram Live.
Yeah, and even his mom was surprised because he told a story about getting things out of her nightstand that she didn't know about. So
books, everyone, books.
Come
okay.
on, no, I wanted them to go watch it. but that live was converted to a reel and is on the Rapgrams account. So you can go watch that and go watch Ken.
Definitely.
And us.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was a good time. So thank you so much for that opportunity to take over the RHAP Instagram page. It was quite fun. I'm not great user of Instagram. It's much different than Twitter. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg has figured out a lot in regards to Instagram in the past couple of days.
Well, thanks to Jill, the RHAP social media coordinator.
Yeah, yes. So thank you, Jill, for helping with that. We appreciate
very
it.
Very patient with me because I'm more of a TikTok guy, as
you
everybody
knows.
You
are a TikTok guy. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anyway, we'll talk about all my TikTok and YouTube and other accounts later. But in case you happened on this podcast and you haven't heard part one of the Survivor 44 preview yet, you should probably do that, you know, unless you want to be a rebel. Go get them.
Yeah, that's fine. Go to work. It's not a big deal.
But in that podcast, we discussed what we expect to see in Survivor 44 in terms of advantages and the like. And we covered the Ratu tribe. Mm-hmm. This podcast will cover the changes I've made to the rules for this season. And then the Soka tribe, including what we think of each of the players, how they'll do with the rules, and who we think will be the best or will do the best and worst from that tribe.
Yes.
The third, in a few days, will cover the Tika tribe. And we will also have our final predictions, including our winner picks.
Sorry.
Yeah. Of course, once Survivor starts, we will be here every week to discuss what each of the voted out players did right and wrong in terms of the rules that I originally wrote way back after the very first Survivor season and have been updating ever since.
Yes. Craziness. Crazy. It's been so long.
Yes. Now, the rules themselves, I hope to have updated online soon for Survivor 44. Once they are, you can find them through a link at our dedicated page on robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. I'll let everyone know when that happens. part of it is, you know, the changes that I'm about to discuss, normally I run them by Jessica before the podcast. Mm-hmm. We've been so busy, I haven't done that. So, hey, surprise.
Yay!
So in case, you know, she says something that's like, wow, David, you should really add this too, or you should make this change. Then I didn't want to, you know, make it permanent or anything like that. But until then, and even after then, the rules also come in a shorter and much more colorful version.
Yes, they do. Ta-da.
And you can find that at, again, robhaswebsite.com/yxlustfeed. Scroll down to the poster and click on it.
Click it, buy it, love it, hang it up, enjoy your life.
Right. That's right. I not only have the one behind me, I have a second one too. See?
I know. I see that. What did you put that one in?
This is in a frame that I recommended to people.
Oh, that's the frame? Okay.
Yes.
Because it looks very thin.
Yes, it's a very thin frame. And therefore, in my opinion, it emphasizes the poster.
I love that. So
besides the, as I've started to scroll down here on what you could see on the screen, besides the poster, we also have the poster t-shirt, which you can get on the YX Lust feed page, and the checklist t-shirt, which you are wearing.
Yes, I am. Ta-da. You might have seen it on my Instagram takeover.
Ah.
Okay. I didn't change my clothes like some people I see.
Yes, I've been changing shirts all throughout. Someone responded to one of the stories and said, I'm living for the shirt changes. So, you know.
Look at you.
That's right.
I love it.
So now, as we move into the rules here, I mentioned this on the Instagram Live, but I have it on good authority from people outside this cast that there were at least two copies of my rules, not the poster, the rules, smuggled into pregame Ponderosa for studying.
I love that.
Much like we heard Voce did, and of course, much like Rob Sesternino did.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly will not mention any names because I don't want to get anyone in trouble. I mean, that would be bad. You know, they managed to get it through everything and then I'm the one who gets them in trouble. No. But, you know, if they want at the end of the season, they can come out and reveal it, much like Voce and Rob did.
Sure. Absolutely. It is rather interesting, the limitations they place on you with what you can and cannot bring and the approval that you must seek for outside of the box requests.
Now, as you might imagine, after 43 seasons, there aren't a whole lot of changes to the rules, especially since I added in several things that we learned from Survivor 41 and 42 last season. But there are a few new items. The first rule, of course, has always talked about scheming and plotting, with the implication being, of course, that this is not a game about honesty. Sorry, Ken. But after NECA last season.
Can we appreciate you?
Yes, yes. You know, he was just talking a lot about that. After NECA last season, I decided to put in a specific mention using her as a very good example. Not because I'm picking on her, but because she admits now that she went in thinking she could play with honesty. But after the game was over, she said in exit interviews that, no, it's not possible to play the game without lying.
Yeah. I do think that that is a really hard concept for people to kind of wrap their brain around when they're going out to play this game. Because you can't play the game like you would live your life every day, even though it would be great if you could and people want to do that. But unfortunately, you just can't. And it becomes a really, really hard thing because I do believe that early on when Survivor first started, I think it was very hard for viewers to kind of separate the person from the player. And I feel like now there seems to be more of an ability to do that and a willingness to do that, where someone can go on to Survivor and do some crazy, outlandish or, you know, lie about things and do things that you would never do in everyday life. But there seems to be more of an acceptance for it now than there was early on in Survivor, even though that's always been the game that had to be played.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, Richard Hatch won the first season.
This
Brian Hydeck was there, you know, and I mean, yeah,
and
you had
people,
others in
like,
between.
Got frustrated and didn't and were like, took it personal and thought he was a terrible human being. And all of the and it's like played a game, Yeah,
right. Exactly. So, yeah, it, you know, obviously too late for NECA. Hopefully future players who are thinking about it will take note.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I think one player that we're going to discuss today, in fact, was like you were saying, in the early days, thought that he could play honestly, but now realizes he can't. I still have some nits to pick with that, but we'll get to it when we get there. Another item I added to the first rule was suggested to me on Twitter by listener Deb, and it's to not underestimate your opponents. As they said, we see it all the time. So I put in a reminder to that effect also in the first rule, noting that just as you're trying to get rid of everyone else, they're trying to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And then the third thing I added was to the sixth rule. And it was actually something I already brought up in our conversation in part one of the podcast. And it's to not just have the right number of shields around you, but the right types of shields. So if you're the biggest, most muscly guy, having other big, muscly guys around you doesn't really give you a meat shield.
Right.
In that case, you're better off finding a strategic shield instead.
So I approve all of those additions and changes.
All right. Stamp approval.
I mean, they're your rules. I just sit here and help talk through them. You are welcome to add to them what you feel is.
I just like to get another opinion, very intelligent opinion.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. So, but yeah, the 56 pages that they are now, I don't know. It's a lot of reading. You're going to need a really big book to smuggle those in.
Apparently not. I mean, apparently it wasn't that hard, you know. So
nice.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So, yeah, that covers rule changes, and we can move on to our thoughts and predictions.
Mm-hmm. On the Soka tribe. Now, someone did ask on Twitter about showing photographs. Now, I'll just let you know, I'm not technically savvy. And so this is what we're doing today, ladies and gentlemen. Ta-da! This is what we're going to do. We're just going to use a little piece of paper, and I'll just hold it a little bit closer when we're talking about a particular person. Okay? So that's, and I, listen, I get it. Because when I was actually, knocking things over. My gosh, I'm so sorry. When I was actually like going through and I'm still learning all of the individuals, I have to keep their pictures in front of me as well. Because otherwise I'm not going to remember who is who. So appreciate the message. And thank you. We're going to do our best to try to include that as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get to the specific people, as we said in part one, just in case, you know, someone didn't listen to it, everyone, including the players, should remember that we're basing almost everything we'll be discussing off a relatively small amount of information. And as one player from part one responded on Twitter, I hadn't talked to anyone in 8 days, so I was just saying everything.
You know, I would like to just throw this in there too. When I was listening to Rob and Mike Bloom, when they were going through the interviews, I was playing it in my car and my son was with me and he says, "Mom, These are the players? I didn't think they could talk to anybody about being on Survivor. You weren't allowed to talk to anybody. What is happening? And he was completely blown away as to what was going on. So I explained it to him. And then a few minutes later, he's like, wait, so are like other players listening to this? I'm like, Owen, it's already been like the game is over. It's been recorded. He's like, oh, okay. It's like this whole set of emotions that he was just trying to process. Like, wait, you weren't allowed to talk to anyone. What is happening?
You didn't have any pregame interviews?
No, and that's what I told him we did, but he didn't understand.
Well, yeah,
that's
he wasn't,
what was happening.
He wasn't there with you when you went tent to tent. And
right. So
he there were
thought,
people on site then.
Yeah. So he just knew that, like, there was no talking about it. Like, mm-hmm. He's like, my little second grade self was lying to everybody about where my mom was. So yeah, that was quite funny to listen to him like react to what he was hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we will start with Claire, who is a 25-year-old tech investor, originally Claire. From.
Let me see. There she is. This is Claire.
Hello, Claire.
Okay.
She is originally from closer to my neck of the woods in Highland Park, Illinois. I believe I have some relatives near there, but now in Brooklyn. I have some relatives in Brooklyn too. Different relatives, obviously. She immediately got me on her good side with her answer as to why she wants to be part of Survivor. She said, Survivor has been my dream since I was 4 years old. Survivor has been the most consistent and motivating thing for me and changed the way I approach the world. I've been playing Survivor my whole life. Why not try it in the ultimate arena?
Incredible.
Yeah. Now, a lot have been made of the fact that she used to watch the show through her parents' keyhole. I was actually going to cut a keyhole out and put it over. I just didn't have time. I know Rob and Mike already brought this up, but how old were the doors in her house that they still had those keyholes? Did she like live in a Scottish castle or something where they have big keyholes that you can look
through?
Well,
you know, it's interesting you say that because my parents' house was, or is, I should say, a very old farmhouse. Mm-hmm. And there were very old doors that did actually have very large keyholes with, you know, old timey keys, if you will. But
she didn't live on a farm. She lived in Highland Park.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure because in my head, what is it from like, oh geez. Do you want to build a snowman? When she's like peeking
Frozen?
Through the keyhole. That's what we have going on here. Yeah. I mean, I it's fascinating that you could, and I'm also curious, what was the setup of the bedroom that she had a perfect view of the TV through a keyhole that her parents are also laying in bed watching the show. Like I'm in my brain, I'm putting the bedroom together and I'm having trouble.
I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah.
If I had a TV in my bedroom, which I don't, if I had a TV where my window is, that you'd have a perfect view from my door.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with that then that she just had a straight shot right to the TV.
That's right. She said she's seen every season a couple times and more recently has started going to some Survivor meetups. Now, mm-hmm. I just want to know what meetups those are. Were they RHAP? Were they Bryson Wendell? Were they Jordan Kalish's group in New York City or just some fans and friends of hers? And I don't mean to discount her friends, you know, by saying just, but people I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that she's getting out there, but I know that they are very leery about announcing their presence at some of these functions as well before it's official that they are.
Yeah, well, I think this was before. I think this was before she went out there. She was getting involved in these groups. So,
so that's great for her.
So somebody was like, "Hey, how come Claire hasn't been showing up for the last couple months? She
What's
must be busy."
With Claire?
Yeah,
crazy. No, I think that she's definitely someone who brings an interesting energy to the game where she's so enthusiastic about life and she is absolutely like, I think running out of 10. And I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic out in Survivor because but also she recognizes that about herself, right? Mm-hmm. Because she did talk about the needing to breathe and take a moment and process, which thank you. Please do that before you grab a Beware Advantage and just rip it open. And, you know, maybe she's going to take a step back and think it through. Because I think that someone like her definitely needs to do that too, because if she goes too fast too soon, she could find herself in trouble, because that's
right.
What's made her so successful, right? Is taking that approach to life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't do that when you play Survivor. So I think it's good that she recognizes that about herself, but also great that that's what she wants to bring to the game as well. But it's just finding that balance that she'll have to do.
Yeah, she fooled me at first in her response to the idol question, saying, she would be incredibly eager to look. Mm-hmm. And I was like, uh-oh. But then there'll be plenty of uh-oh with some other people later. But then she noted that one of her goals is to take that step back, because yeah. She knows it can paint a target to you or on you, especially since, as she said, I'm weak, I'm small, I'm going to be an early target if we want to keep the tribe strong. So, you know, she needs to make sure people trust her for the long term, which is right. Good Rule 7 thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, you know, like you said, idols weren't the only place where she used the terms of kind of chilling out. And as that was also the best advice she said she got from friends and family, saying, my biggest threat is going to be myself and the situations I put myself into by thinking too much. So again, good combination of understanding between rules 2 and 6 at the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I do think that she's really finding that balance already, just at least in her responses. But again, mm-hmm. I just hope that she can bring that to this game, because part of what was discussed and what they've been talking to each Survivor about is the new era of Survivor
yes. And
what they think about it. And she's at least very honest in her mm-hmm. response, which I loved, that she's acknowledging the fact that she has studied every season of Survivor. And then they get after season 40, it's like, whatever, we're changing everything and we're going to do what we want. And so, yeah, that's certainly for someone like her who is so well studied in the game. And she's at least acknowledging that fact that, thanks, you know, I've done all of this work and now it might not even matter. I think it will still help greatly because she is mm-hmm. a student of the game, but she's also recognizing that there's certain things that she's just not going to be able to anticipate as well, which is what we love about the new era, right?
Yeah, this was an answer of hers that I liked, and I'm sure producers probably didn't because, you know, she said the new era doesn't so much excite her, you know, but, you know, I guess she should have talked to Lauren, who only studied the new era, apparently.
Right? They should have exchanged notes.
Yeah. Now, in part one, I mentioned in relation to Jamie how the rules can and should be applied not just to Survivor, but to real life. And Claire is an example of that. As she said, she's always been the odd one out. So she felt like she's been playing a social strategic game her whole life to fit in and succeed, which sounds a lot like rules 5, 1, and 3 at the very least.
Mm.
Even better is that she is planning to use that life experience to make them like her enough that they'll keep her around until she stabs them in the back.
Right. And I just hope she doesn't slip too much into scheming and plotting too much, just because I do feel like she might have that tendency to kind of take over and wanting mm-hmm. to control things. And that might end up being a problem for her. So I'm hoping, again, if she can,
right.
if she can manage it all and kind of find that sweet spot, I think she's going to be in a really, really great spot.
Yeah. I mean, she's already taking steps or has taken steps to kind of create an image ahead of time, you know, that she's hoping that people will see her as a nice, harmless, young, small girl and a fun loving kind of chill, goofy young girl. And, you know, she wants to keep hidden that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes when it comes to being strategic, thoughtful, and smart.
Right.
Now, she showed more of that strategic thinking in answering the questions about what she wants in an ally. As we saw with most of the players in the Ratu tribe, she wants trust and loyalty. But she went those steps beyond by explaining why. She wants to be able to know what to expect from them. And also, people who think they're smarter than she is, you know, she wants to pair up with and will not pose a threat to her because they don't believe she poses a threat to them.
Right.
And then she'll determine if she can beat them in the end or stab them in the back to get, you know, past them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know from last season that can be dangerous for a young woman to attempt, even if you're certain that you can beat whoever you're against. So for her sake, we hopefully won't have a repeat situation.
Yes. No, I hope she's able to manage this all, because at least she does have, she has a plan, but it's not so structured that she can't be flexible with it, which I also think is great. She's very mindful of her attributes and what she can bring to the game. She's also very mindful of, you know, what people will perceive about her. And that whole idea that we've talked about, perception is reality. So I appreciate the fact that she's taken the time to almost study herself and how she fits into this game. And it's probably due mostly to the fact that she says this has been her whole life, right? She's been having to do this. So I'm hoping that by having that experience and then recognizing these things about herself, she'll be able to slip in and manage this game in the way that she wants to see it unfold. Because there's at least a couple of people on this tribe that I think would mesh very nicely with her.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to admit, I've already briefly discussed the joys of locks with Claire on Twitter, and that's not the locks with the keyholes that you see through, but the ones you put on a bagel with cream cheese. But what impresses me more is that she said, I'll do whatever it takes to win. I've got the strategic knowledge and the social skills to get me where I need to go. I'm also easy to underestimate. These people won't see me coming till the knife is in their back.
I love this.
Now, I know she's only the first person we're discussing in this tribe, but right now she's a favorite in my book.
She's doing great. She's killing it. All right. Are we moving on?
Killing it by stabbing them in the back.
Because now we're going to talk about Danny.
Yes.
Can you see Danny? Okay. Right there in the middle.
I do not see him at all. Lift it up.
How's
higher.
That?
Higher. There you go.
There we all go. Right. Can you see Danny?
Yes.
There he is. Okay. See, I told you I'm not so great at this. And then it makes everything very dark. But we'll get there. So Danny, according to the things I looked at, is 32 years old. Now, we've discussed this. Maybe he was 31 at the time, but 32. He is from Bronx in New York, and he is a firefighter. He describes himself as kind, passionate, and determined. Now, he is drawn to things that terrify him. So I think it's interesting that he's a firefighter. Sounds like pretty terrifying stuff to be walking into. But he also says that you can't really be prepared for this experience, which might make him more prepared. I was a little torn.
Okay.
A long pause there.
Yeah. So before we get to that, let me tell you what I didn't like. He was asked why he wanted to play Survivor. He had an answer of the type we complained about in the first part of the podcast, talking about putting the human condition on display and stripping you down to your rawest form and how true happiness is found outside your company, blah, blah, blah. Then he, and you were probably going to bring this up also, but this was the second thing he said that made me ready to get very mad, was that, like Brandon, he mentioned the stupid hourglass lie as his second favorite moment.
Yeah, no, I definitely had a WTF next to that.
And his name is Danny.
I know. Well, but, and here's, there's, okay, but there's some other, let's give him a little bit here that, I do appreciate, though, that he says, I'm going into this game expecting things not to go my way. Mm-hmm. And I do like that angle, because it's better to kind of be ready as opposed to just having a laid back, relaxed kind of approach to it. However, I do still feel like that's the Danny way, is to have that more laid back kind of chill approach. But then at the same time, he seems to be very mixed as far as everything I'm reading about him. It's like things don't seem to jive. He comes across as someone who is very just likable in his responses and the way that he talks about himself. But then he also describes himself as like a frat house guy, and that's how people perceive him. And so he's like almost a walking contradiction in a lot of the answers that he gave, and even the way that he describes himself. And so I'm very curious to see what's going to happen because he doesn't seem to have a plan because, like I've already said, you can't prepare for this game, which I'm sorry, but you can. You can prepare for so many components of this game, and you need to prepare for so many components of this game because if you don't, you're never going to make it out there. So I just, I don't know. I'm definitely a little concerned.
Yeah, I think what he was trying to say, or at least looking at it in the best way possible, was that he was saying, like you said, things will happen that won't go the way you expect, and you can't just shut down because of it. But you have to kind of roll with the punches. Basically, a version of the third rule, being flexible.
Right. And that's great.
But saying you can't be prepared, you're right, because you can prepare. Right. It's just you also have to be prepared for things to not go your way.
Right. And then he's talking about how you can't be stagnant and you can't be complacent. You've got to be ready to adapt at all times, just like life. And Survivor is a study of the human condition. So what better way to show the human condition than having to adapt, improvise, and overcome at every single corner? All of that sounds great, but it also sounds like you have to have a plan in place then if these are the types of things that you want to be coming out of this game. Because you can't be complacent and you can't sit back, which is why you have to prepare in order to play this game. And I definitely was looking at his responses and just feeling this like mix that I don't really know who Danny is. I realize he's expressing his ideas, but I feel like they're so contradictory that I'm not sure where he's going to fall, where he's going to land.
No, literally, one of my notes is Danny is something of a mixed bag for me. We'll see how he does when he gets out there. I don't have him highest on my list nor lowest.
Right. I think that he's someone who looks very strong. He'll be great in challenges. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's someone who's going to come across as very threatening in the scheming and plotting aspect of the game, which is why he might be someone that can easily be scooped up by someone like a Claire, maybe, that just thinks that this is someone that I can utilize in my game. But I don't know if that's going to be what he'll be okay with, because I can't really tell what his ideal plan is for this game, just looking at the explanation of himself.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. You know, he also, like Claire, said he wants someone who thinks they can beat you. So it would be funny if he and Claire both thought they could beat each other, and they're two of the final three going in with that attitude.
Fascinating.
One good thing when it came to idols, he said, he'd be eager, but he said, I'm the same guy who's watching people and saying, no, what are you doing? You can't be looking for an idol yet. You can't be doing this yet.
Yeah.
And said, you know, he'll hold off until it's not seen negatively, because that's a death sentence. Everybody knows that. That's Survivor 101. Since they brought idols into the game, that's never changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, Survivor 101. Yes. Rule 7 also. More important.
We can definitely appreciate that.
Yes.
And I think we need to note, due to a future Survivor player that we will be discussing, that his fictional character that he would want to come out for the loved one's visit was Harry Potter. Just, you know, let's put a pin in that. We'll just put a pin in that. We'll move on. All right. Are we going on to our next?
So we will next go on to Franny.
Let's try to see if I can. Okay. Franny's right here. This is Franny. All right.
Perfect. Okay.
Good? All right. Perfect.
She's a 23-year-old research coordinator on mindfulness and meditation from Minnesota. And now in Massachusetts. Lots of M's.
Yes.
One of the words she used to describe herself is zesty, which I don't know. I just like saying zesty. So she has been watching since she accidentally stumbled onto Kagyan while flipping channels and was immediately hooked, saying she went back and watched almost every single season.
Mm-hmm.
What does she mean, almost every season?
Inquiring minds
want to know which season she skipped and why. But
she definitely watched Rob Cesarnino's first season.
Yes, yes.
So there's that at least. We have
Rob
that.
Would be perfectly happy if she didn't watch his second season. So, but Yeah, she added she studied the game and has become steeped in the culture of Survivor for the past couple of years. I'm not, again, much like with Claire, I'm not entirely sure what that entailed, like Reddit, Twitter, podcasts. I don't know which part of the culture she's been steeped in.
Yeah.
But not whatever it is, it's been enough that she not only picked Sophie as her favorite winner, but as her favorite biggest life inspiration overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Sophie is one of my top favorites as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good choice.
I think so too. And I think that it fits what I'm hearing on and like reading on paper. I get a Sophie vibe from her too. So I think that that's an interesting choice. And maybe that's because Sophie's such an inspiration for her. And that's why we're hearing Sophie come through, which makes me very excited when she talks about her adaptability, because that was something Sophie was very good at. And Sophie was very tolerant of so many things that transpired, but she understood that she needed to be. And so I, you know, I do think that it will be an interesting component of her game to see if she's able to really be adaptable, as she talked about. So we've got some, you know, rule three happening there as well. So I'm excited for her because she, again, seems to know who she is and has a good sense of herself and understands how to bring that into the game. And I think that that's a great thing to do walking into something like this. You have to know yourself and you have to know how it's going to mix in, as she describes, a swirling tornado of chaos.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of a swirling tornado of chaos, I didn't want to leave the Sophie part without giving congratulations to Sophie and her husband, the Settlers of Catan shark, on the recent birth of their new baby. And so their house may be a swirling tornado of chaos.
I'm sure.
So, yes, congratulations to them.
Yes.
Now, going along with Franny's studying of the game, she said people will probably perceive her as nerdy and smart, but her mom told her she thinks too much like Michaela from your season, looking four moves ahead, and advised her to keep that to herself, which she indeed plans to do. As she said, never let anybody know just how prepared you are for the rest of the game. So that's some good rule six thinking there.
That's great mom advice right there.
Yes.
Excellent job. I love that. I'm also interested to see how her actual work is going to help her in the game, because it's all about basically, you know, meditation and self-compassion and how that can help treat mental and physical conditions. And hell, you're going to go through so many mental and physical things out there that's another thing I'm intrigued by her, to see if that will help her get through and maybe also help other people that she's playing the game with get through as well.
Yeah, I mean, she could certainly, I mean, we talked about Matthew not wanting to use massage to get people on his side for evil. I don't know if Franny will use meditation for evil. We'll have to see.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
But, you know, going back to the smart nerdy vibe, she said it'll be hard to avoid things like being the puzzle person or have others come to her with strategy talk. Which, you know, people coming to you with strategy talk is not a bad thing as long as you don't overdo it.
Right.
And, you know, for the puzzle, well, I mean, if you get the puzzle right, that's great. If you volunteer and screw it up, it's not so great. But if they drag you into it and you're not the one saying, I can do it.
Yeah.
It's less bad. It's not necessarily great, but it's less bad.
It's definitely less bad. If you're volunteering, you better kill it. I'm just saying, you better kill it.
She even said she wants an ally who is interested in talking through every possible outcome and considering the alternatives. But again, she has to balance some things. You can't overdo it. You can't analyze absolutely everything to that degree.
And if she's able to kind of, well, and that's interesting, right? Because if she holds off doing that until somebody else is willing to do that, maybe they're both going to hold off doing it and then nobody will. You know? So it's like this weird cyclical thing that she might find herself falling into, where nobody's really being completely forthcoming with how they want to approach a situation. So maybe she'll find someone that's willing to take that first step.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the new era aspect of things, Franny seems to be of two minds. She knows there's a lot of uncertainty and randomness that can hurt people's games, but she wants to be the calm in the eye of that storm that you were talking about. The problem is there aren't any weather forecasters here. So making sure you're in the eye of the storm instead of swept away by the storm is difficult. But Franny says one of her superpowers will be adaptability and that she's always learning and shifting based on her surroundings. So maybe she can navigate the storm after all.
That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, are we moving on to Miss Heidi?
Yes.
Heidi is here. This is Heidi. There we are. All right. So this is a woman who has raised incredibly smart kids because they know not to tell others about idols. Thank you very much. You did great with that, Heidi. We appreciate that. Heidi is 43 years old. She is originally from Ponce, Puerto Rico. She now lives in Pittsburgh, and she is an engineering manager, describes herself as energetic, adventurous, and loud. That might be problematic when you're playing Survivor, the loud portion, but we'll see.
So I want to stop you here, because the whole engineering manager threw me for a loop.
Yeah?
Okay, because I'm not entirely sure what it means in this context. So I was, I guess, technically still am an engineer, and I was a manager, and I was a manager of engineers, but I don't know that I was an engineer. I don't know. That was never my title, but I also knew a guy who worked for me who got a degree in engineering management as a separate field of study, but he really didn't know anything about engineering. His degree was in how to manage engineers.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I know. But Heidi did briefly say, I think in her social media video intro and someplace else, that she was an she is an engineer. So that's at least one clue to the puzzle, even though that's probably a puzzle nobody else cares about but me.
That's fascinating. Well, listen, she's got 40 patents, for God's sakes. I mean, what? That is damn impressive. That's someone who, I feel like there's a lot of brains in this whole season. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a whole lot of really, really smart people. And she's also someone who's not just really smart, but she loves CrossFit, which her husband said she's going to kill it in the challenges. Like, she's going to do great in the challenges. So I think that she's kind of got all of the package, if you will, where she's got the brains. She's also has the strength for this game as well. And she just, there was something though. There was something, and like when I was listening to her speak about the game and what she was hoping to have the experience like, I do think that for her early life struggles that she had to go through are probably going to give her a lot of drive in how she plays Survivor. Mm-hmm. But I also I'm a little concerned that she might be. I don't know if it's going to be like too compassionate or too kind of almost caught up in the moment. She is the oldest woman on the tribe, and I don't want her to end up falling into the, like, I have to take care of everybody. Right. She is a mother. And so I always worry about that. You have a very strong woman who clearly is passionate about life, has worked so hard to be where she is and to be successful, that I just hope she doesn't get swept up in this idea that then she needs to take care of
or manage them.
Right. Yes. I don't want that to happen to her. I'm really hoping that she can avoid that from happening to her.
Yeah. I like that she describes herself as seasoned.
Yes.
Which,
thank you. That's a beautiful word.
Yeah. Seasoned. It kind of, you know, salt and pepper. she could get together with Franny, who's zesty, and then you could have zesty seasoning. I'm worried about her for the same reasons you were mentioning. But to go back to some of the other things she said, she was a latecomer to Survivor. So, again, like some of the others, but was hooked as soon as she saw her first episode, going back to watch every season from the beginning. And like you said, it looks like she's watched with her kids because they're smart kids. Now, in terms of an ally, it seems like she's literally looking for someone opposite, like a tall, right, young person.
Right.
Looking at this group, maybe Matt fits the bill. I'm not sure. I'm also not sure that you can quite get that specific.
No, but I do think, though, that there's something to be said about the opposite component, because mm-hmm. it does sound like a lot of the people on her tribe are kind of like looking for the yin to their yang. Mm-hmm. And so this might be something that multiple people on the, you know, very small six person tribe are also trying to achieve. And I could see her connecting with Claire. I could see her connecting with Franny. And because I do feel like there's something about the approach that I think that they've taken to, especially Claire, just, mm-hmm. you know, that there's like there's some struggle with life in general that they've had to go through. And I'm hoping that there could be some connection there, and that we would avoid the mom or the manager kind of relationship. And it would just be more an appreciation of what they can offer to the game. And so I think that she might end up doing well if she's able to find that connection, because we do have, this is a very young group.
Yeah.
And I hope for her sake that she's able to find a connection and that she is able to connect. I'm hoping.
Right. Yeah. Overall, I like that she knows and said this is a game of deceit and she will play the game hard. Mm-hmm. I thought the funniest thing she said was that she loves Sandra. And if she can be half as good as Sandra, that means she'll win once.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right. Well, we have Josh, who is a...
I was looking at my notes. You're moving.
Oh, okay.
Here we go, Josh.
He's a...
Right there in the middle?
Yep, in the yellow. He is a...
Bloomberg's 30, like, move the paper. Let's go.
Yeah. He is a 34-year-old surgical podiatrist, originally from Cincinnati, now Atlanta. His interviews really provided a mix of the good and the not so good, from my standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start out with the not so good answer regarding searching for advantages, in which he said he'd be very eager to do it and even added, that's one of the top things on my list to do. Now, I already ranted a bit about this kind of answer in the first preview podcast when it came to Lauren saying something even more positive about idol hunting. So people can go back and re-listen to that. But for Josh, I don't understand the logic he's trying to give us behind this answer. He says he believes he'll already be perceived as a threat due to his athletic ability. So he wants to find idols and advantages so he can get further and not be perceived as a bigger threat than he already is. This is...
I thought it didn't matter if he was perceived as a bigger threat because he was already perceived as a threat.
I don't know. It's a head scratcher to me because first, I don't think he'll be perceived as a threat early, but rather as a positive challenge force on his tribe.
Mm.
But that aside, if we take his presumption as true that he will be seen as a threat, idol hunting is a huge risk of becoming even a bigger one.
Yeah. And then if you actually have one.
Right. Because that's what he's saying. He'd use what he finds to get further in the game. And history tells us people who do that are even bigger threats.
Yeah.
So I don't see how he's saying it would be the opposite. It seems like going against rule six, just all over the place.
Well, I don't know. Josh is, I had a bit of a struggle. Just first of all, an incredible backstory. Again, we have someone who has been through the worst things that you could ever experience in your existence and has used that to propel him forward in life. Yes. So, incredible, incredible backstory. Clearly an incredibly intelligent human being, graduated top of his class. Oh, we didn't even mention that, by the way. We just have to go back to Franny for a second. Perfect score on her MCAT. Hi. Just, you know, throwing that out there. Again, very smart tribe. But I just feel like he's... I don't know. There's something about him that makes me feel like he's going to, like, one of the things he talked about was that he wants, when he's talking about the person he'd be looking for in the, as an mm-hmm. alliance partner, with the honesty and trustworthiness, again, which a lot of people seem to be mm-hmm. pointing to. But what he wants to do is basically split at the merge, like get to the merge and then split with this person. Like, does he mean split? Like, we're going to both then kind of collect people and bring them back? Or are we just going to go our separate ways and be done and then not ever work with each other again? It just, again, seemed like a lot of things that were not making sense. Like, what's the long-term yes. goal here? What's the long-term plan? And I understand sometimes the plans don't work on Survivor. I get that. We've talked about that.
No, you can come in with a plan. They always work perfectly.
But something like that, splitting at the merge, like, what does that mean? What does that actually
know.
Mean?
I don't know. You know, and you mentioned the honesty aspect of him. He's the one I was talking about earlier, where he said when Survivor first came out, he told himself he was going to play an honest game and not backstep. Now, it's good that he realized that doesn't work.
Mm.
But the confusing part to me is he said he came to this decision because of the new era, because of all the twists. And to that I ask, Josh, where have you been? That whole idea should have left his head many years ago. But I guess it doesn't matter. He came to that realization now, so let's just be thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, then he also talks about when, as far as the advantages component, mm-hmm. you know, I want to keep winning challenges, be social so I can find my one wing person and then find these hidden advantages and hidden immunity idols so I can get further in the game so that I won't be perceived as a bigger threat that I already am perceived as. Isn't that like everyone's perfect game idea of Survivor?
Yes.
These are all of the things that everybody wants to be able to do.
I will align myself with the best person possible. We will win every challenge. We will get to the end and I will get the $1 million.
That is my plan. And we will have idols getting us there along the way. Yes.
Yes. Yes. That is
my plan.
Yeah,
it was like the perfect game.
Yeah.
So, good luck, Josh. I hope that works out for you.
Yeah. Now, he has watched with his family since the beginning and he's seen almost every season, as I asked with Franny. What do you mean almost? But, you know, then he called himself and his family very, very hardcore fans. Now, here's the thing. These days, watching almost every season does not make you a hardcore fan.
No.
He couldn't even remember Eric Reichenbach's name when discussing his favorite Survivor moment.
Yeah, come on. You can't forget Eric's name.
No. But I do acknowledge, if you're unaware of the full Survivor universe, then a person might say something like this. You have said yourself that before you went on Survivor, mm-hmm. you didn't know about this full Survivor universe.
I know. I wish I had.
So, I don't know. Would you have called yourself a very, very hardcore fan?
No. No.
Okay.
No, I was just, I loved the show, watched it all the time, never missed an episode, but that would be it. I wasn't reading the blogs and I wasn't in this underground world that I now know exists. And
we're not underground.
I truly wish.
It's posted to YouTube. Well, I guess something's posted to YouTube.
No, I truly wish that I knew more about all of these things that existed. Like you, David Bloomberg.
Aw, thanks.
I would have snuck the rules in myself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Moving to a couple of better things that he said, he talked about being social and inclusive with his tribe mates so he can get to the end and then, bam, he'll backstab or do whatever he needs to do mm-hmm. to win. So basically get people to trust him so he can vote them out, which is, you know, good rule 1 in 5 behavior.
Sure.
Along with that, he knows he has to put his emotions aside and not let anyone play on them, going along with the fourth rule. So all these are good things. Also good, he said one of his favorite hobbies is obstacle course races, which should certainly help him in Survivor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with everything he's already overcome and that, I don't know. It will be very interesting to see him play. I do think just, you know, due to strength, he probably makes the merge.
I don't know. I have some very real concerns for him.
Okay. Yeah.
I just, because I feel like he is someone who comes across as very sure of who he is. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You know, that's completely fine. But I don't know if he's going to kind of keep it in check. Like we yeah. talked about Claire, where Claire is like, no one's going to know what right. I am. I feel like he wants it on display. He wants everybody to know how strong he is, which is why he's like, then I'm going to go look for idols because, ha, you know, like yes. somehow that will make him less of a threat, more of a threat, not enough of a threat. I'm not sure how he's determining that.
I mean, if
level.
He gets busted, you know, Danny has already said that's a death sentence.
Yes. And so this is what I'm concerned with, is that mm-hmm. he's going to go out there and be playing, you know, 0 to 60 immediately, because that's his life. That's the way mm-hmm. he's been. He's an alpha, and there's nothing wrong with that, except when you're playing a game like this and you have to balance that with other people. Right. And my concern for him is that he's just going to come in too hard, too fast, too soon. And even though he might be great at the challenges, this looks like a very strong tribe. And mm-hmm. I think that they might need to weigh that if right. they find themselves in a situation that causes yeah. them to go to tribal council.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So now we are going to talk about this last
Our
individual
final
here.
Member of the tribe.
This is Matt. Now he is coming in with a 1-2 punch and goofy grin, and he is inspired by failing and our one and only Eric Reichenbach. Thank you very much. He remembered his name.
He remembered his name. Yes,
he did. He remembered his name. Now, Matt is 27 years old from Albany, California, but he's currently in San Francisco. He's a security software engineer, describes himself as joyful, empathetic, and persistent. Now, one life experience that has prepared him for the game, which I thought was interesting, is failing at stuff, which is why I mentioned mm-hmm. that right out the gate. I think the best survivors are defined by how they respond to setbacks. And I did really appreciate that about him yes. because he knows that even if it doesn't work, there might be another plan. So flexibility here, maybe he'll be able to pull some things through with that. And he also mentioned that days of riding coattails are over. Everyone is too good at this game. Right. I don't know if that's necessarily the truth, but at least he's recognizing that people who are playing this game are there to yeah. play.
Yeah. I don't know that it's riding coattails anymore, but using shields.
Yes. And I think that's you know. Good.
Yeah.
So let's see what else we've got about him. So again,
well, he's got this, his story with Survivor is a little less specific than some.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he was introduced by a girl he really liked in high school.
Oh, yes.
Now, no word on what happened to the girl. But he said,
look who's on Survivor now.
Yeah, he's been watching pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know exactly what that entails. But like you said, at least he remembered Eric's name.
Yes.
So then again, we know that season was on Netflix. So lots of people remember Eric from that.
Yes. But I do think that he's an interesting individual. I get a little bit of like Owen vibe from him, the Charlie Brown kind of portion of Owen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this constant, like this failing component, but I yeah. do love that even in all of that rejection, he utilized that to keep moving himself forward.
Right.
But he also recognizes that he's kind of, even though he's very persistent, he also is kind of laid back in the same vein. So he seems like a mix of, I think, things that can be really great in this game, mm-hmm. but then things that could potentially put you at risk. And I think it's all going to depend upon who he's able to make a connection with. I was thinking maybe Franny, because he seems to have the same type of approach that Franny was taking, where thinking through things that I say really, really carefully, like wants people to do that with him. And that's something that Franny was looking for. But again, someone has to be willing to step forward and do that first, right? So maybe he and Franny would end up connecting in that way. But he wants to be very genuine with that person and talks about being, mm-hmm. you know, coming with creative strategies. So I do think that he has a good idea about how he wants to play the game, but he's concerned for himself because of potential anxiety and that he can get too much into his own head. And that is a death knell in this game. If you mm-hmm. spend too much time in your own head, talking yourself out of things, then you have to talk through things.
Right.
That's different than blaming yourself, feeling like you should have done something differently, it happens because you're going to make a decision. It's going to be the wrong one. And then you're going to kick yourself, but you got to get over it. And he's right. afraid that he's going to get stuck in that spot and not be able to get past it. Like he has other failures that he's had in his life. So I'm hoping that he's able to not get trapped in that, that he's able to quiet that voice if it happens to him, because I do think that he can bring some potentially good things to the game. And maybe he and Danny can hang out and talk about Harry Potter, since yeah. his loved one or fictional mm-hmm. character was Dumbledore. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he and Danny can hang out and they can talk about Harry Potter things.
But. Or they'll talk about Harry Potter being on the tribe we're going to discuss next time.
Yes.
So, talking about some of the things with Matt that you were mentioning, he talked about putting on a front. He's just there to have a fun adventure so they won't see how much he's thinking behind the scenes. Wanting to discuss all those different options. One thing he mentioned that's particularly interesting, because he brought up how often it's this person or that person, but you really can go in lots of different directions.
Mm.
And I feel like we've seen that with certain players like George on Australian Survivor, where someone will come to him with a plan of A or B, and he'll be like, but what if we went with a completely different person, D? I will say, though, I think Matt's falling for the editing a little bit, because I think that a lot of the A or B thinking we see on Survivor is the producers editing it for simplicity for TV viewers. Mm. You know, because we've heard before, oh, it was you or this person. They'll say in an interview, no, actually, it was one of six
right.
of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just edited that way. So yeah. he might find out it's not quite as binary as when he, you know, what he was thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah.
Now, I do want to talk about the bad side of Matt, which is idols. Because he said he will be very eager to find them, and then went further and said, this new era is almost defined by advantages, and having an advantage opens up so many doors of possibilities for you that it is really doing yourself a disservice in this game not to be looking for advantages. I would expect everyone out there to go looking for advantages because they're so huge. You want to have options. At any stage of the game, it's valuable to have multiple things that you could do and be able to choose from that. It's an embarrassment of riches. That's the position I want to get.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's just.
Oh, but he's, I will say, I know, I'm just saying, acknowledging that advantages are basically everything in this new era of Survivor.
Well, but they're not. I mean, he's,
but they've made it this way.
They made it look that way, but.
You have to fight against it, Matt.
It's not the key to Survivor.
Right.
And I don't understand how people have come away with this idea, other than the propaganda from the show itself,
yes.
because it's not true. More often, it's the opposite. Advantages are causing people's demise.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at what has happened over the past three seasons. When
right.
people have an idol or have an advantage, they are more often knocked out because of it than it mm-hmm. actually does them any good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Not great. It's
no.
Not-
and it's just, if you don't have other elements to your game, getting an idol or advantage or multiple advantages is not going to win for you.
Yeah.
Matt, you've disappointed me, Matt.
I think Matt will be fine.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I don't know if he'll be fine. So, yeah, that's, I unfortunately had to end with that. Even
no,
though
and
he's
that's
got
okay.
a strategic brain.
No, because this, I think that this is a very interesting group of people who are incredibly like intelligent. And I think that that's mm-hmm. going to cause the first person who will be voted out of this tribe. It's going to be that component of it. They're just going to
okay.
be too smart for their own good.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. I just want to say before we get to that, it is interesting to follow up on the, you know, thought that I had with Matt that so many of these players are itching to go out and run around and look for idols.
Yeah.
Again, I'm somewhat flummoxed as to how you can watch 41 and 42 and come away with the idea that these are good things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at least there's, you know, like Danny saying, no, don't do that. Survivor 101.
Mm-hmm.
I also find it interesting that this particular tribe seems to have fewer super duper or uber fans and more people who are what I'll call big fans.
Big fans. Oh, I like that. Big fans.
It may not seem like a huge difference, but it's one thing to watch Survivor with your friends and family, and another to have in-depth conversations on social media or listen to hours and hours of great podcasts. Hello. We obviously recommend the latter. Further recommend watching short videos about Survivor on TikTok and YouTube.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy. All of these things you can offer.
I know.
What
a coincidence.
It's crazy the world we live in.
God. And you can do that at David Bloomberg TV on almost any video.
Yes, you can.
But anyway, I am having a harder time than usual coming up with who I think will be voted out first from SOCA. But you seem to already have someone
on
your mind.
I'm going with my gut on this one. I think it's going to be Josh.
Okay.
And I know that's here's my thought process. I think looking at this group of people, you have quite a group that is incredible. Like they just seem really smart. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to be an interesting part of Claire's existence, because we already heard Claire speak about how she doesn't want people to know how smart she is. And she's going to be looking for people that she knows that she can beat. And that's who she's going to want to work with. So she's going to be looking very closely at who people are. And I feel like Josh is going to come in and be like, this is who I am, and is not going to be hiding anything, and is going to put everything on the table, and is going to be showing them his abilities and capabilities and how smart he is. I don't know if he talked about whether or not he would talk about being a surgeon or not, but I don't feel like he's the type of person that's going to hide it.
Yeah.
And so I think Claire is going to look at that and say, I appreciate the struggle that he had growing up. I appreciate the struggle that he's had just being the person he is in this life, because she's had very similar types of struggles, but he's too smart and I want him out of this game. And I think that she is going to glom on to the other players and is going to, like Danny, I think is someone that she's probably going to scoop up. And I feel like Franny, I've already talked about Franny and maybe even Heidi kind of meshing with her really well. And I just don't feel like Matt is going to be threatening to someone like Claire. I think Claire is going to be looking for blood immediately, but she's going to be able to hide it, because I think Josh is going to do it for himself.
Okay. That is very interesting, and I would not be surprised if it's true. I went based on challenge strength.
Yeah.
But even as I said that, they do generally seem to be a strong group, so I don't know. I think that the other four, other than Danny and Josh, should fit together well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think they're going to value Danny and Josh for that strength. I'm unfortunately going to say Heidi, not for any good reason, certainly not because I want it. I just think, as the oldest and the smallest, she may be the one who's easiest to single out.
And that's a true concern, but she's also a CrossFit person too.
I know, but CrossFit doesn't mean you can lift a heavy truck up a ramp.
That's true.
I mean, it means you can do all sorts
of
things. Yeah, I know.
It's definitely a hard one. That's why I feel like it's going to be something different that's going to set this person apart.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Claire, as for who I think will do the best in the tribe, how can I not like her? I mean, I like Franny too. She's a close second for me, but Claire's my pick to go the furthest.
I love the names too. We have Claire, Franny, and Heidi. Like, these are like old school names that I really can get behind. But I do think that Claire has, I think Claire's got what it takes to make it very far in this game because she is so grounded mm-hmm. and she recognizes every aspect of herself and how it will fit into this game and how to shy away from the things that could negatively affect her and highlight those things that could make her go further. I think she's definitely going to be one to watch. Yes.
Okay. So there we have it. Everyone should watch for our third preview coming up later this week. I'm guessing it'll probably show up around Friday morning. In the meantime, I hope that people will check out the Instagram live stuff that we did, whatever's left. Any other social media?
Well, yes, because I am on Twitter, I'm at JessicaLewis89 and he is at David Bloomberg. So you should definitely follow us both. Now, David Bloomberg, I will say, has a whole slew of other things. So many, he has his own like individual page that you can go to and click on, and then you can follow him on everything, which he is now going to display for you, our Professor Bloomberg here. So you can check out all of his items, inclusive of his TikTok. You have to go follow him on TikTok. You have to.
Yes. And that page is my Linktree. It is Linktree/David Bloomberg, except there's a dot before the EE. The easy way to remember it for all the video accounts, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, or Instagram, it's at David Bloomberg TV.
Excellent. Can I thank people? Are we there yet?
No. Okay.
I'm so thrown off.
No. So, but on those, on TikTok and everything, I had mentioned previously, I've been posting mini Why Blank Lost for each player eliminated from Australian Survivor, plus other clips, commentary from that show, as well as other shows like Special Forces and Tough as Nails. I also want to remind everyone that the rules we discussed are available in poster form and t-shirt form, and also as a checklist t-shirt form. And you can get to those by going to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. I also want to encourage people to join the patron program either from that same page or at robhaswebsite.com/patron. And also make sure you're subscribed to all the reality TV Rehap Ups podcast by going to robhaswebsite.com/rehapupsfeed. And from there, you could just select your podcast service of choice and get all the different things from the Survivor podcasts to podcasts on a whole bunch of different other shows. So definitely go to robhaswebsite.com/rehapups.
Yes. Now, can I say thank you?
Yes.
I've been thrown off. There's so many changes.
Yes.
So I would like to thank Scott for doing all of the editing, not just here on Why Blank Lost, but all of the Rehap Up information that is out there in the universe. Thank you so much, Scott St. Pierre, for all of the incredible, incredible work that you do, that you put into this every single week with all of the podcasting material that you make available. So thank you for that. And thank you to Will from America for the theme song that you created for Why Blank Lost. We love it. Super catchy. Thank you again. You are incredibly talented. And thank you to all of the listeners for sitting down with us once again, whether you're driving in your car, sitting at your computer, whatever you're doing. Thank you.
Or even if you're standing.
You. Right.
Or lying
anything,
down.
Dancing, lying working down. Out, yeah. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us. And thank you, David Bloomberg, for another fun 1 hour and 11 minute, almost 1:12 at this point, podcast talking about six incredible people that I can't wait to watch on the TV.
And thank you as well for this very full day that we have had of doing all sorts of things.
Yes.
I'll be asking you for a couple more when we're done here.
But, I'm sure. I was like, can you send another video?
Yeah, exactly. So, once again, we will see everybody in a few days. Until then, see you online at various other places. Bye.
Bye.
Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby.